time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
Merrimack Valley, Southern New Hampshire Sports Desk. The team of Nick and Nick is here, Kelly Media. We are in week three on our home at msonewsports.com. Thank you for joining and following us. Follow us on Twitter at Nick underscore something. What the heck is it, Nick? What's our Twitter handle?
Do you know it? NIC underscore and Nick.
There you go. Yeah, NIC underscore and underscore NICK. There you go. Now you know the drill. But we are here. And it is mid-July, and that only means one thing that we care about. It's Little League. And Nick, I dug around, and I found a champion out of the district we care about, 14. It is Andover.
Fucking. They're so bad at all their other sports. I can't believe that they would win the District 14 Little League.
I tell you, so they beat North Reading 6-3 on Wednesday night. And this recording is Thursday night. So now they advance to the sectionals where they will face, they will be in a 4-team tournament. It's part of 16 teams left in the state at that point. And they'll face the District 15, 16, and 13, correct? Is that how it works?
13, 14, 15, 16.
Yep. And the 13s, we think it might be Reading. We're not sure. We're waiting to see on a result there as well. It's hard to grab news in that Middlesex area. They're not as up to speed as the North Shore Merrimack Valley, right? So anyway, we'll see. We'll wait. Well, it's great because we're gonna have three teams we care about in the Nick and Nick Enterprise, right? We also have the North Shore Sports Desk, so we care about 15 and 16 as well, which at the time of this recording is just about getting underway.
The finals.
Yeah.
So let's get Peabody West and Beverly Gloucester. So I think Peabody West and Beverly are the two teams currently in the driver's seat. Swampscott and Gloucester would need to win twice.
Yeah.
To win. So yeah, we'll see. I've seen both scenarios play out.
Yeah.
So probably an even number of times, to be honest with you. So, you know, could go either way still.
Yeah. Peabody West defending state champs, one game away from Williamsport National Tournament last summer. Wild ride for Mark Betancourt and his team last year. I wonder if Betancourt's back this year. Does he have like a kid that was 11 or he's done?
I don't believe his kid is still there, to be honest. So I'm assuming no.
Yeah. Yeah. But dialing it back to, you were mentioning Andover. They never have any success in sports. Well, you know, I tell you a story. Gloucester Post 3 Legion Baseball. I was pitching against Andover and we rolled up to the field and I saw a team on the field. I go, oh, that kid's got a beard. That kid's 6'5". That must be an adult team. And we're going to play the Legion Baseball after them. Nope. It was the team that we were going to play. They had a doubleheader against another team and then us. Nick, I was so proud that I let up like 4 runs in 6 innings to Andover. I'm like, how did I do this? They beat us probably anyway, but it's just what a town, what a team. Great congratulations to Andover Little League and breaks up a little streak, Nick. North Andover won 2019 and 2021. So Andover Nationals, the last out of Andover to advance to this far. And that was 2016.
Excellent. Excellent. And yeah, should be a good Section 4 tournament. Like I was saying on the North Shore Sports Desk, I think once you get down to the sectionals, it's anybody's game. I mean, all these teams are good. There are so many ways to advance. There are so many ways to win and lose in this tournament. You know, you get down to 16 teams in the entire state. They're all capable of beating anybody.
Yeah. And why don't you tell our listeners how that works in the sectionals? What level is that and how that sort of 4-team tournament plays out?
Yes, they go round robin. Each team gets 3 games and then the top 2 finishers move on to a 1-game final. So, you know, as expected, the tiebreakers will usually come into play. It doesn't, you know, these teams are all good. They can all beat each other. So it doesn't just go with, you know, this team 3-0, 2-1, 1-2, 0-3, done. You know, it's usually an upset of 2 here or there, and you got to go into those tiebreakers. And then that decides the 2 teams playing for the sectional, and the winner moves on to the state finals. 4 teams, same format, same exact format.
Yeah. And some of the heroes for Andover in that nice win to clinch that championship in District 14 was Gideon Barnes, Homer, Jed Sanchez. I'm quoting the Eagle Tribune. Jed Sanchez doubled twice. And then Theo Del Greco slammed the door, had a great night starting on the mound. Allowed one run, three hits, two walks, four and one third inning, striking out eight. And Andover's defense did not make one error. How big is that in a Little League game?
That's the key right there, the errors. You keep the errors. All the best defensive teams are usually the ones that are left kind of in their district semifinals. And I don't think that's a coincidence because you can sometimes somebody will outslug you, but if you play defense and you keep the runs to a minimum, you're in every game.
Yeah. And I think Griffin Murray came in after for Del Greco and kind of slammed the door there. And great win for Andover. Moving on to the sectionals. And it's like an all baseball show today, Nick, which isn't surprising for the summer. We are going to take a break because we have a fun interview coming up with the Pride of Lowell, the other Pride of Lowell, right? You get Dickie Eklund is the first Pride of Lowell. The second one, maybe Mickey Ward is the second. The third,
according to the fighter, Mickey Ward is.
Yeah. Right. The third is going to be Jonathan Pollard, my boy JP, former teammate at Salem State Baseball, coach of Austin Prep. His alma mater led them to a state championship 25-0. It's going to be a fun interview. Catching up with JP and all things Austin Prep, making the move to privates next year. Last year in the MIAA public school system, won the whole thing. Looking forward to it. Stay with us after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level. From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Don McCastro, Nick Kukuru. We are the Nick and Nick team, Kelly Media, and we're here with the real Pride of Lowell, Jonathan Pollard, coach of Austin Prep Baseball, coming off the 25-0 run, state title, beating Newburyport in the final. Coach, how you doing, buddy?
It's doing very well, thank you. It's been a whirlwind, and it was an exciting season. Still haven't completely decompressed yet, but I think I'm on my way.
Well, let's start with me taking umbrage for something you told the Lowell Sun. So you were quoted, nice little profile on you. And I'm going to quote this from Chris Hurley's piece earlier this month. I've been involved in baseball my entire life and have been blessed to have some incredible experiences as both a player and a coach, but nothing compares to winning this state championship. And my question to you, JP, is, you got to watch Dom Nicastro on the baseball field of Salem State College who was 2 years older than you, and that wasn't the pinnacle moment of your career?
It fell down to second. It had quite the rain at first, but it just got bumped down.
Oh man. All right. I'll take the
play, man. For everybody listening, he could play. I'll validate it.
Hey, as long as I'm ahead of the Gene Burnham memories, the Jeff Erickson winning All America, I'll take those.
I think Gene acknowledged my existence once. So that was a win. That was a win.
Oh, God. Hey, what's up, Pollard? Yeah, I
see that. That was probably about all it was. Maybe he told me to go get him breakfast in Florida or something like that. But that was probably the extent of our relationship.
But, you know, in all seriousness, let's start right there at Salem State, because, you know, you're an amazing as a player. I knew you were good when you were a youngster, but then we left and the old crew left, and you go two all MASCAC seasons back to back. But a real, you know, important moment in your career is Coach Kenny Perrone keeping you on as a coach. And that was the start for you to an amazing coaching career.
100%. I mean, I owe a lot to Coach Perrone. He's a great man, both on the field and off the field. If you graduate from that program and you don't learn something about life and learn a lot about baseball, that's on you, because he puts plenty out there for you to better yourself as a player and a person. So, I was blessed to have a pretty good playing career at Salem. At the completion of my career, I had an opportunity to go out and play in Arizona in the what the Golden Baseball League is what it was called, an independent pro league. And in preparation to go out there, I end up getting hurt. And I said, you know, coach was like, well, what are you doing now? And I said, I really don't know. And so he brought me on as a coach in a summer league for women, actually. I'm sorry. First, it was the pitching coach for Salem, but yep. he piggybacked that with also coaching a professional women's team that they tried to function out of Lynn at the future North Shore Spirit. They're now the Navigators.
Right.
But they were the Spirit back when that ownership had control of the team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, my first two coaching gigs were a direct result of Coach Perrone.
Yeah.
And I saw the way that he impacted all of us. And I certainly saw the way, you know, he impacted Salem High School as a football coach. It's hard not to know that story. And when you see that kind of relationship and, you know, the impact he had on so many people's lives, it's hard not to want to follow in those footsteps. It's hard not to want to explore that life in coaching.
What was his steel sign at that point still like this with his hand on his cheek?
Well, as you know, Dom, I never got the steel sign. My only sign was this. Yeah. My only sign was this. I bunted once and he almost destroyed me in the dugout in front of the whole team. So I never put a bunt down on my own ever again. That's a really funny story. We were down in Florida playing Defiance. We went down early and I think I was hitting four and got a couple guys on. I bunted two guys over, base hit. And so now we cut the lead in half or 3-2 or whatever it was. I think I did my job. I'm the team guy. As I'm jogging back, he's grabbing me by the jersey. What? I give the signs here. You don't make your own decisions. And then, you know, I said to him, I never talked back. I had the utmost respect for him, but he just wouldn't let it go. He kept riding me and riding me. I said, all right, coach. All right. It's all about home runs. Next time I'll hit a home run.
Yeah.
So by chance I get up next at bat, I hit a dinger and I'm running the bases. Like, I can't wait to see this guy at the plate. I really showed him. And as I get through the line and coach is waiting there, I was like, see, I told you. And he goes, no, I told you. If you listened to me, we'd be up by three. That was the last time I ever talked back to him. He was quick and he knew what he was talking about. So that was the last time I put my own sign on.
And you know, that was probably similar to having to speak to him after we broke curfew by just a few hours or two in Florida. he had a tendency to let you hear it if you just didn't follow basic rules.
For sure.
We will not name the player, but the parent really was the one who got us in trouble because he was knocking on doors. Where are all the guys? They're sleeping. Nope, we were down in Ybor City. That's where we were.
Yeah. Ybor City, a lot of memories there.
Yep, exactly. Down in Florida. Again, we're here with Jonathan Pollard of Lowell, the pride of Lowell, coaching at Austin Prep, your alma mater, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, to come full circle like that must have been so cool because, you know, you took over as a coach in the COVID year. You didn't even get to coach in your first year.
That's correct. I had been the JV coach for 5 years prior. Originally, I was hired to come back as athletic director. And I was very fortunate. The head coach at the time, Steve Busby, he asked me to be on staff with the sub varsity because of my baseball background. I gladly accepted. I really wanted to be at that level. I enjoyed the sub varsity level because it's really about the development. It's grassroots. There's far less agendas for the players and far less pressure for them to perform. So it was really just really getting in there and teaching them how to play the game the right way. So I did that for 5 years. And then when Coach Busby decided to hang it up and move to the collegiate ranks, it opened up an opportunity. I was promoted to assistant head of school, which also allowed me to take the job as varsity baseball coach. And I gladly accepted. But to your point, unfortunately, the 2020 season was canceled. So I was in purgatory for a year waiting for the team to be able to come together and get to coach them on field.
Yeah, Coach, take us to the season. I mean, 25-0. I mean, you guys had all the hype going in, so all the pressure was on you guys, and yet you still got it done. What does that say about, you know, kind of the mental toughness of your squad?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking that, Nick, and you're spot on. There was a lot of pressure, and that pressure dated all the way back to the 2021 season. We had a pretty good run that year in, you know, the COVID compromise. We went 18-1 in the regular season. Played a really tough schedule and then had a second round exit, which is obviously not what we were looking forward to. So the whole offseason, we were locked in. That junior class obviously was rising and they had one more shot at it. You know, you go to Austin to win state championships and that class, they had their freshman year, no opportunity to win a state championship, then get bumped in the second round. So really quickly in their lives, they had one shot left at this thing. And you could see it the moment that game was over, they were locked in and ready to get going. So we came out of the gates and played a very, very aggressive preseason schedule. We played Catholic Memorial. They're ranked in the state. Leominster ranked in the state. Chelmsford ranked in the state. All of which great programs with great coaches. And we did well. And I think it was pretty early on. We were like, we have an opportunity to have a pretty good run right here. And then opened it up with Milton. And I can't say enough great things about that program. They're unbelievable. Two Division I arms leading the way. Charlie Walker threw against us with Foley coming out of the pen. Both those guys are legit. Two of the best arms in the state. We were fortunate to get through them with a 1-0 win at home on opening day. And then to your point, it just kind of kept adding up. And, you know, you know, the whole term, I've said this before, there's an elephant in the room. Well, we were in the elephant exhibit and those elephants just kept moseying in for the entire season. So it was the preseason number one ranking. Then it was the undefeated streak. And then it was, you know, conference championship, Hilly Classic championship. And now all of a sudden it's like, they're close, man. They might run the table here and go undefeated, which at that point there was no one else left in the state that was undefeated. And as we completed at 20-0, we were then ranked nationally as the 24th best team in the country, which that put quite a bullseye on us as well, rightfully so. Everybody wants to play teams like that. You want to take it away from them. That's why we sign up for competitive athletics. You know, and then we got the best everybody had to offer. People were holding their ones to face us, which I respected and agreed with. And it really gave us an opportunity to leave no questions. We went through the toughest schedule we could possibly design against the best pitchers they had. And it was an honor to compete against all of those teams. And I really appreciate their role within the success of this season. But to your point, as a coach, could not be more proud of our young men and how they dealt with that. They never, ever got distracted. I mean, for those of you watching that have been to our game, it's not your typical high school baseball game. We have an operations department, which is run by students. It's anybody that wants to get involved in sports media, sport management, things like that. So they create our environment. So you show up to a high school baseball game, everybody's got a walk-up song. Everybody's got an entry song. There's music between every inning. And then with the guys on our roster, you always have college coaches all over the place. When Blanco was throwing, you had scouts, radar guns right in his face, video cameras right in his face, media from all over the state covering, all over the country actually covering it. And you'd look around sometimes and be like, this is a high school baseball game. This is what pregame at Fenway looks like on a smaller scale. And our guys just kept performing. And I have the utmost respect for those guys. It was an honor to coach them up with the rest of the coaching staff. And it's a special team I'll definitely never, ever forget.
So you're saying that Jonathan Pollard here, coach of Austin Prep, you're saying that the Austin Prep atmosphere was even more polished and more professional than the Palmer Cove of the late 90s at Salem?
You know, Palma Cove had its own appeal to it. But I think the only thing we were lacking was an ocean. So I think we stacked up pretty well against Palma Cove, except for that that ocean in left field. We haven't recreated that. We did it on a smaller scale. We have a swamp in right field. And that was the closest we could come to the friendly confines of Palma Cove.
There was plenty of, we had walk-up music too, although we didn't get to choose. The neighborhood kids were playing it as they were playing basketball in the back. So
yeah,
we had to, whatever tunes they were playing, that was our walk-up song. So
yeah. And you know what, Dom, it's really funny, but honestly, to go back to Nick's point, that adds to all of these high school kids' pressure is, you know, we would play for a week and maybe we'd get published in the paper with the stat leaders of the conference. These kids have like live in-game tweets and right, Instagram posts every at bat. They have, you know, Perfect Game and PBR and all these other organizations ranking them, and they just, they're under a spotlight. And, you know, the professionalism of athletics has trickled down to younger and younger ages. So again, when you come to our ballpark, and it does, it's a much better situation than most colleges. It's great, but there's an associated pressure that goes on with that as well.
Yeah. You're an athletic official too. I mean, being the athletics director, were you also the director this year as well? With Austin Prep, you gave that up.
I got promoted to assistant head of school at the completion of my fifth year. I was never receptive to being a head coach and while in the athletic director position. I just didn't think it was fair to the other sports. For me personally, I know it works at other schools, but you know, in baseball specifically, that game could be 2 hours, 3 hours. How do I look at the other spring sports in the eye and say I'm really invested in them? If I'm down at baseball for 3 hours, I'm not seeing any tennis matches. I'm not seeing any lacrosse matches, track meets. I just didn't feel that was fair. So I just got very fortunate, very lucky that the stars aligned as I was promoted. Coach Busby decided to move on to coach college baseball. And it was just really put right in my lap. I was very, very fortunate.
Coach, you mentioned Evan Blanco. I was fortunate enough to see him in that quarterfinal game against Gloucester. Now you hear a lot of rumors like, oh, this kid throws 90, this kid throws heat. And usually I you know, you kind of roll your eyes at it, but I showed up and he was throwing a real 90. I mean, I know Gloucester brought in a former minor leaguer to kind of throw batting practice to them to get ready for
him. Oh, was it Rusty? Did Rusty come in? Yeah, Rusty Tucker?
Yeah, they did. And it still didn't do it justice. He still kind of mowed him down.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I really appreciate hearing how they prepped, because you always wonder how they're prepping for you. I've had some really funny text exchanges with other coaches in Massachusetts that, you know, sometimes in confidence, they'll say, hey, I randomly got pulled into this group message trying to get a scout on you guys. I guess they don't know our relationship. And some of the feedback of the scouts of how to play us and what they were doing to prepare was really, really funny. Blanc's as real as it gets. He's special. I've seen a lot of great arms in my life as a player and as a coach, and he's the best high school pitcher I've ever seen. You know, he topped at 94 for us this year. He usually sat somewhere between 88 to 92. But the thing is, I mean, you got to understand, he's very selfless as well. A guy like that can go every night and say, all right, I'm looking to get 18 strikeouts, 18 plus strikeouts, because he's got that kind of stuff. But we had that conversation with him his junior year. It's like, Blanc, we need you to complete games. We need you to get deep into games, and you've got to pitch to contact. You know, we're blessed. We had 5 Division I commits on the team, bunch of other guys going to play college baseball. Let them handle the ball. They're perfectly qualified to get you out. And to his credit, he completely bought in. He pitched to contact. And I think that's probably why you saw the run he had in the state playoffs, where he was able to throw in 4 of the 5 games. That was because we stayed well within the limits of the new federation rules. It was just he pitched to contact, got deep in games. Once he hit those milestone numbers, we got him out and trusted the other arms. We got tons of guys that can throw. So it was just really special. It says a lot about him as a person as well as a player.
Yeah, I quoted you in the Lowell Sun. Blanco is the best high school pitcher I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would guess a lot of coaches would agree with that. that get to see him firsthand.
Yeah. That those credentials, 94 and lefty, that becomes unfair on a high school level. That's not even. Yeah. That's bad math.
Yeah. He's a freak athlete. He gave up 1 earned run in 76 innings. So his ERA was like a 0.07 or something ridiculous. And he's also sub 760. He can fly. He's strong. He's 100 plus off the tee. And then you watch him in PFPs, you know, again, pitching to contact. He's trying to get contact to come back to him very often. So he'd be throwing breakers to break to, you know, center cut low, trying to induce ground balls back to him. Or, you know, a lot of guys try to bunt their way on against him. And it's an absolute show. It's like a left-handed elite shortstop out there with the plays that he makes.
Yeah. JP, tell us about some of the Merrimack Valley kids. You know, you had some contributions this year, and even the ones that are, you know, still in college now, some that come to mind for you, the Andovers, the Bill Rickers, like, who do you got?
Sure. I mean, we've been very blessed, and I'm always, you know, maybe a little biased. I'm always happy when I get a Merrimack Valley kid, being a Merrimack Valley kid. I just really respect the Merrimack Valley in general, but certainly for baseball. You start looking at the towns and the talent that they produce and the toughness. Those kids really play the game the right way. It's always a pleasure to have Merrimack Valley kids on the team. And I think, you know, you look in the history of our program, you know, Logan Bravo is probably one of the big ones that came through. He's captain at Harvard. He'll probably get drafted next week or so. You know, he's an elite 6'5", 220-pound right-hander with light tower power. He was special coming from Andover. This year we have Jake Zawatsky from Billerica. You know, really, really special young talent. You know, he only threw 30 or so innings for us because our 1 and 2 were both Division I left-handers. But you'll know about him very soon. I would guess he'll be committed to a major Division I by the end of this weekend, honestly, because he'll be heading down to Georgia for the tournament. I think he'll be D1 by the end of the weekend. He's already has multiple scholarship offers. And then, you know, we have Jake Elberry down at University of Richmond, another special, special guy in the history of our program, Andover/North Andover kid. He moved midway through, but, you know, he not only did he play at University of Richmond, he walked in and started right away. And I think it was only about 2 weeks in and he moved to the four hole. So, you know, everyday guy hitting in the middle of the order for them as a true freshman, special, special guy, you know, diverse defensive ability. And the best part is all these guys still come back to Austin. They all hit together. Nice. They all work out together and they're there for our guys to see and, you know, pick their brains, help with the recruiting process, you know, validate what we're teaching them, because in the moment, sometimes it becomes background noise. And as former players, we get that, you know, but when those guys come back and they're like, fellas, everything the coaches are saying is what we're doing at the Power 5 level, like buy in. And when you get there, you're going to be able to contribute very early.
Yeah.
And they've proven
kind of your MIAA swan song. You guys are moving over to a new, you know, prep school division next year. Tell us what the future holds for the program.
Wait a minute. I just heard a round of applause. I just heard a round of applause from all the baseball teams in their division. Like, oh, thank goodness. Get them out. Right.
I appreciate that. But, you know, that was another one of the elephants in a room. Obviously, we had announced that in the winter. So we went through our entire season, everybody knowing that was the last hurrah. So it was their last chance to get their licks in. You know, if we had the better of the, you know, career series against them, it was their last shot to get a win or, you know, get another win. But it definitely added an element of pressure and sadness to a full disclosure. We have a lot of great rivalries. Our conference is a tremendous conference. I have the utmost respect for the schools in our conference and especially the coaches in our conference, how they lead those programs. I think the CCL doesn't get enough credit for the ability that it produces. I mean, I think it's 6 state champions in the last 3 years because there's multiple divisions represented. We have Division I, Division II, Division III, Division IV teams all within that same conference. Two former big leaguers, you know, you got Fenwick has Matt Antonelli and Bishop Stang has Brian Rose from the Sox. So they've been at the highest levels and they coach as if they've been there. So, you know, to go in there and compete against those guys for the last time was a bit bittersweet. Going to miss playing against those guys. And, you know, St. Mary's, it's just been tremendous. We've had the really, really great rivalry with those guys. Coach Dane is the man. I have a lot of respect for him and everything he's done with his program and just who he is as a man. He was really good to me when I first got the job and like onboarded me and helping me find out the temperature of the league. So he's a really good guy that I'll always be a loyal soldier to.
Yeah. And multiple state champion winner there, Derek Dana out of St. Mary's and Lynn. We talked to him, you know, on our radio show there, the old show.
He's the best.
Yeah. And you know, it seems like you had this kind of sort of connection when you were, you know, the AD and now the coach with the Austin Prep kids. I have a niece and a nephew that went to Austin Prep and I knew you were the AD. So I brought it up and they said, oh, JP, you know, JP, Like, come on, that's Mr. Pollard to you. But they were friends, you know, it's like kind of just by saying that kind of showed me the atmosphere there that you created. You kind of wanted to be their friend, but also like a mentor as well.
Yeah, I mean, that gets mixed reviews depending on who you're talking to on the faculty. But I'll tell you the background on that was, you know, prior to my arrival at Austin, I was running a travel program based out of Woburn. And as an alum, we played our home games at Austin. So I started to filter my guys into Austin. So when I was hired as AD, I had like 20 guys there that I'd been coaching since they were 7 years old. Yeah. So they had always called me JP. So it's hard to turn that off after, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of calling you that. Then all of a sudden the other students start to pick it up because they think it's cool to say it. But I'll always laugh my guys in that original class, they always would joke. They're like, you might get to call him JP, but you don't really know what he's about. They're like, there's JP JP and then there's AP JP. And if you play from outside of here, you'll know who JP JP is. So I just always appreciated that. And to your point, it's the relationship with the players and them feeling comfortable and while still having the utmost respect. You know, if I ever felt it was going down a road where they didn't know who I was within the school and in their careers, we would adjust for sure.
Yeah. Jonathan Pollard here, 2-time CCL Coach of the Year. I got you at, according to the Lowell Sun, a 44-2 record there in your 2 seasons as coach. Almost had 3 seasons, but the COVID year canceled out year one. Let's end with this. Take me back to Lowell, the pride of Lowell. The days of Lowell, was it Calorie Park? Is that what it's called? Is it Calorie Park?
Calorie, yep. That's where I grew up playing.
Yeah.
I went to school right across the street at St. Margaret's.
Yeah, tell me about those experiences, some of your, you know, early mentors in baseball, because baseball has been so good to you. You've been so blessed to be, you know, a part of baseball your whole life now, and it all started back in Lowell.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's a wild story when you really think about it. I mean, you know, the state championship's one thing, but I've been really blessed to coach the U.S. national team. So I've coached with USA Baseball. I think I did 6 years with them in a variety of capacities, whether that was the women's team, the 14U team, speaking at the symposium, working the Fort Bragg camp, working with the college national team. That's the deep end of the pool, man. You're traveling the world, representing your country and your country's national pastime. So to think back that all started on the fields of Calorie Park is really wild. And it's heavy to wrap your head around. And then to go back to your alma mater in Austin Prep and be able to coach that up and be blessed with the success we've had. And then to win that first state championship as head coach in the city that you grew up in, it was really heavy. And a thing a lot of people don't know about is we vacationed in Newburyport in the summers. So now I'm back in Lowell playing for the state championship against Newburyport. It was just too heavy. At times I was like, looking around, like, is this a Disney movie? This is crazy. Like, I can't believe how many stars aligned for this. And, you know, 25-0 and all that stuff. Like, there's just so many stars aligned for what was really very special. I mean, it has to be pretty special to bump the Nicastro experience down a peg.
Down a peg. Yeah.
It says it all. But, you know, I think back to, you know, like, Coach Martell certainly drove the bus on that. You know, that's Billy Martell's dad. He really coached us up hard at a young age. He's been involved with Lowell Legion his whole life. Mr. Kowalski, he had a couple sons that went through the high school, really great football players. The McNeils, you know, great wrestlers. Just a lot of really great athletes that the Duffy, Brian Duffy, I played with him. His dad's actually an umpire now. So I cross paths with him on the field very often. We catch up, but yeah, I mean, it was exactly what you would expect for Lowell Little League. It was hyper competitive. It's a big city with a lot of teams, and we were fortunate to win the state championship my 11-year-old year, which is a big deal. You have to go through, like, I think it was like 15 leagues at the time, not 15 teams. It's a big city. Yeah. So, and they, you know, they just taught you how to play the game the right way, how to take the skills you learn on the field into life. And I'm forever grateful. Those are really great guys. You know, Mr. Martell, for a long time, he worked at a gas station, Hafner's, and I'd bump into him when I was getting gas, and we would just reminisce. And he always has and always will hold a special spot in my heart.
Awesome. Well said. Throwing it back to the Lowell days, the hometown. JP, as they call you, Jonathan Pollard, we wish you the best of luck in the private world of sports. Is it NEPSAC? Is that the league that you'll be playing in?
That's correct. We'll be going to the NEPSAC. We'll go independent the first year to figure out what the best league is within the NEPSAC. But we've already been blessed that some of the really elite programs in the country want to play us. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be going to a national level. playing teams from all over the East Coast.
Yeah. Well, the road to the MIAA championship is no longer goes through Reading at the moment going forward. So we wish you the best of luck going forward, Coach. Great to catch up with you, bud. And I hope that you and the family are doing well.
Thank you. Right back at you, Dom. I appreciate everything. Good to see you, man. It's been too long. Nick, thank you for everything. Appreciate everything you guys do to highlight sports in general, but specifically high school sports. It does a lot for the coaches, does a lot for the kids. So really appreciate that.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good one, my brother.
Take care, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. JP, Jonathan Pollitt of Lowell, Austin Prep baseball coach in the books. Let's take a break, come back and catch up with just some other Merrimack Valley sports talk.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level. From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
Merrimack Valley, Southern New Hampshire Sports Desk, wrapping things up here. Nick and Nick, Kelly Media, MSONewsSports.com. Nick, fun interview with JP, huh?
Big time. That was a lengthy one, but it needed to be. I mean, there was so much, Austin Prep is a big story this year. There's so much going on with them, and, it's all interesting.
Yeah, it really is. He was such a good ball player, but he was only a sophomore when I was a senior. So tough lineup to crack. We were the MASCAC champs at Salem State, and we had an All-American there, and he had to wait his turn. And then when I left, he just took off. He won back to back. He got selected to the All-MASCAC back to back. So he was legitimate as a player. And he proved to be just as legitimate as a coach. You could tell he's one of those, polished guys that has been in the business for so long. He reminds me of those guys like Antonelli, guys that have been, Matt Antonelli of the North Shore, that are so passionate about baseball and have made it their life and literally made a living off of baseball.
Yeah, he's one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, and he was pretty darn good in like summer ball. He's won a couple MVPs in like Boston leagues I read about, and he was just he's just a good addition to our little Massachusetts baseball community here. We're better off for having JP in it for sure. Yeah, Nick, and we're excited about the sectionals that are coming up. We're going to have all kinds of love for both of our shows here at Nick and Nick and in the sports desk, because we get North Shore, Merrimack Valley teams in that sectionals starting, according to the Eagle Tribune reporter, in Lynn on Wednesday, July 20th, that round robin tournament. So, Nick, hopefully your Gloucester boys can move through and you'll be going to Lynn four straight days.
That'd be interesting. I like that venue, Wyoming Square. Good baseball there. Obviously, if we're at the sectionals. Never mind a trip to Lynn. Lots of food options right around there, too.
Oh, yeah, right in that area. I'll throw a shout out to, I'll tell you off the air. We don't want to give them a free plug, but there's a Chinese food place right there. And that was my go-to when I lived in Swampscott. So good stuff. I found my go-to in Manchester, New Hampshire, too, by the way. So we're good. I measure
most
Chinese
important stuff.
Yeah, that is the most important. I measure my Chinese food, Nick, by the chicken fingers. You have to start there. If they're nice and crisp, golden, ready to rock, I'm in.
Absolutely. Proven crowd pleaser.
Yep. All right, let's end there. Merrimack Valley, Southern New Hampshire Sports Desk. Thanks for tuning in. MSONewsSports.com. Week 3, week 4 is next. We publish pretty much every Friday for now. And we will be taking no breaks every week. We're back. So stay with us. Have fun. I hope everyone's safe and healthy. Have a good weekend, everybody.